This is the Cycling Matters Podcast, your dose of discussions about cycling life and our love for
bike.
Yay! It's been a while since our last podcast episode aired, and so much has happened since then. Bike lanes have been popping up, more people are riding bikes, and we'd like to think that bike transport has become bigger in the minds of people everywhere.
There's also been quite a bit going on behind the scenes at Cycling Matters, and in this episode, we'd like to introduce you to some cool additions to our team, Momok and Mika. So join us for an episode of getting to know our new teammates, and a bit of catching up with what's been going on for everyone in our community since we were last on. This is the Cycling Matters podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Brian.
I'm Mika.
And I'm Jan. The Cycling Matters podcast is brought to you by Cyclo. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the podcast on Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you prefer to listen to your podcasts. Just type Cycling Matters in the search bar, tap on our podcast, and hit subscribe.
So we're back. After a super long...
8 months, I think.
More
than.
8 months. 8 months na pala. Para tayong nawala lang.
Oh. It's been that long pala, huh? 8 months.
I think 10 nga. I think I might be wrong.
Wow.
Or let's just not say. Maybe it could have been 4 lang.
Yeah. Maybe it's just been a while.
Pero parang ganun yung pandemic, no? Time seems to be passing both fast and slow depending on what's going on. Like sometimes you're Wednesday pa lang, but you're thinking Wednesday na in the middle of the week.
Yeah.
Like for some people, it's Wednesday na pala. But then for other people, it's Wednesday pa lang.
Depends on your productivity.
That's right.
And you don't even realize like how many weeks you haven't biked or that your tires need an inflating again.
How many weeks haven't you ridden a bike, Jan?
I think 3 weeks. Kind of sad, but we have to stay safe. We all have to stay safe during the pandemic.
Yeah.
The cool thing is we're not coming back empty-handed. As a matter of fact, we have new teammates to present to our audience, to our listeners, Momok and Mika. And in today's episode, we just wanna get to know our new teammates, ask them a few questions, like Jan and King and Karen did for me a couple of years ago when I also joined the podcast. So we'll start with Mika, and then we'll get to know Momok a bit more after we go with Mika. So hello, Mika.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for having me, guys. Happy to be on the team.
welcome to the Cycling Matters team. So maybe we could hear a bit more about you for starters. Like, who are you and what do you do? Specifically, what do you do for a living? Yeah. A living or how do you afford bikes? What gives you money to buy bikes?
Okay. Hello guys. So I'm Mika. I work in the public sector. I work in the government. I'm actually in the transportation sector right now. So I think I don't know which came first, if it's my interest for bike or me being the sector, but I feel like it's a good combination of being a public transport user and also working in the transport sector and as a biker now, as a bike commuter. So that's what funds my biking expenses. And how does my work influence my cycling? My cycling journey actually started with me being in this job right now. So before, kasi I was in Makati. So commute FX every day, all day. Tapos now that I'm in Ortigas, I feel like I have to... It takes parang almost as long to get to Makati than to get to Ortigas. So that's how I got introduced to the concept of biking to work. Because I really valued my time so much. I couldn't imagine wasting so much time for a less than 10 kilometer commute than spending like 3 hours of my day just to get myself to work. So that's how it all started.
How does that look? Like when you were taking public transport, how long would it usually take you to get to work?
Public transport, like total time siguro is probably like 3 to 3.5 hours a day, back and forth. That's wow. Kasama na yung waiting line, waiting and travel. And then, ayun, parang pass na ako doon. I realized how much I can do with 3 hours yeah. na hindi lang nakaupo sa FX. There.
And we know you ride a bike fast, so on a bike.
On a bike.
How much quicker is it?
On a bike, like on a worst day, it's probably just an hour. That's the worst day already. Yun na yung parang elbow to elbow ka na with the motorcycle sa Ortigas extension. Yun na yung 1 hour. But if it's like a really good day, if I get off work early, it's like 30 minutes. May isang beses parang it was really fast, like 25 minutes. I couldn't even believe it. I didn't think it was possible even on a car. Kasi ganun kasikip sa Ortigas extension, if you guys know that place. So yun, that's what brought me here. Just cars just stopped making sense for me. For going.
And siguro may konting may ilang QOMs along the way, no? Going to work.
Lang ako makuha eh. Parang puro motor yung kalaban ko. Hindi ko siya makuha.
So you mentioned about how your work influences your cycling. And you also mentioned you're in the transport sector. Does your cycling life also affect your outlook on the transport sector and in your work? Like, does it offer you insights, perspectives that kind of change the way you look at transport?
I'd say yes, definitely. Parang this is the first time. Before kasi, I don't know, growing up kasi I had like a school bus when I was in high school. And then in college, I got to drive myself. So parang I was kind of out of tune on what transport was like talaga if you didn't have those parang assistants. Kung wala kang ganun special treatment, I guess. Parang kung gano'n pala siya kahirap. I just got to see it when I started working. I didn't have a choice na. I had to use public transportation. So now I see now, kunyari, for example, how much we invest in roads, in public transport. Pero bakit traffic pa rin? Parang hindi siya naubos, ganun. So parang when I started biking, that's how I realized na grabe, ang konting tao lang laman ng road na to. Pero ang congested pa rin for some reason. Doon ako naging mas, I guess, aware and involved in the sector. And it really helps me review a lot of the projects. It helps me see it in a better way. Parang mas nakarelate ako sa work ko ngayon.
Wow. So now we have an insider who's working with a bias for cycling.
Like, well, that's really important.
Yeah, I guess. I'd always lean towards the side of active transport and non-private cars. Basta yun. Kahit pop. I feel like public transportation is also gonna help us a lot as bikers.
That's right.
Yeah.
So how did you get into cycling? Was it like there was just a moment when you decided to ride a bike, or how does that happen? How did it happen for you?
Mine was with Rafi. So I saw him. But sometimes we get off work at the same time, and then we travel the same distance. But then parang after, ako kunyari, kakalabas ko pa lang ng Ortigas Center. Nasa bahay na siya. So ako, grabe. But
of course,
ganun.
We have to tell Rafi is Mika's boyfriend.
Rafi is my boyfriend. And then that's how I saw parang how much time he's able to save. And how much parang he gets, like no matter what happens, he gets an exercise in. And I feel like I'm the type of person din kasi na, like, I feel like I have to have a little bit of exercise or a little bit of time for myself each day. So the fact that he has time and energy to do that precisely because he's riding a bike, and that the bike is actually that time for himself. Parang that's how I saw biking in a different light. Na parang hindi lang siya yung the sport you play with your childhood friends or like something that your parents teach you.
Actually, if you think about it, no, a lot of people think of the travel time, their commute, as dead time. Like, it's time that they lose. It's like a no-value period of their
That's
day.
True.
But when you're riding a bike, it's actually a positive value part of your day, aside from exercise. You also, I don't know about you guys, but when I ride my bike to commute, I kind of always have a smile on my face. Like, there's this parang cadence going on that parang I just bounce around and I feel very happy to be riding my bike. So the time is not just parang zero or less lost. It's actually positive gain for my day.
And even if you're not like actively or like consciously biking na parang for the sake of biking, sometimes you're thinking about other things while riding and then you forget that you're actually riding and then you realize that you're home all of a sudden. And I love that feeling na parang, wow, that just happened. I'm home in 20 minutes and I feel happy and I have like new ideas.
So some people kasi think na the value of riding a bike is just that it's faster, walang traffic. Pero the actual ride itself is actually quite a positive experience for so many of us. And many of the conceptions about how it feels to be on a bike, nakakatakot, delikado, mainit, parang I don't actually feel those things when I'm riding my bike. And I wish more people could see that it's actually quite absolutely a positive experience when you're actually riding your bike.
That's true.
So Mika, what kind of riding do you usually do? And siguro, what kind of bikes do you ride? Mountain bikes? Are we talking commuter bike, like a utility city bike? May basket ba yan? Do you ride? And what kind of routes do you like to do?
I started with commuting with my folding bike. Like I had my dad's parang siyang Frankenstein na. As in sobrang daming different parts lang na kinabit-kabit into a folding bike and it worked. So that's what I used for like at the very, very start. And then I transferred to a mini velo because I heard from Rafi also that it's like better in terms of handling because medyo weird yung feeling ng folding bike for me. And I really liked how the mini velo felt for commuting. And I can put racks and baskets on it. I actually have a front rack for my work bag. So there, I started with bike commuting. But then when everything changed and COVID attacked, I decided to try indoor cycling because I can't go out the ECQ and I had my bike like my first big gravel bike February 2020 tas nag-ECQ ng March 2020 so parang di ko man lang siya na-enjoy so I started indoor riding na lang kasi that's like for me like that's the only way I can still use my bike without feeling sad about it na hindi siya nagamit so I started there and then nung nag-GCQ na last year, I feel like now I've been riding more for fun and for exercise, for leisure, than bike commuting. Just because I don't need to get out of my house talaga. Other than when naiiyak na ako kasi kailangan ko na ng sunlight or kailangan ko na ng air na hindi galing sa electric fan. Same. Yung mga ganun. Parang that's the only reason I go out now just to keep my sanity in check. Through my bike.
but you touched on a point there. No? There's a sadness to indoor cycling. No?
Yeah. It's not which, the same.
I agree very hard.
Which I think is our next episode. No? Yes. Talking about, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Our next question is there a cycling-related memory that stands out for you? Or maybe something that is just there in your mind when you talk about cycling, good or bad? Like, or maybe you can do both. Like, what's the best thing cycling related memory, what's the worst cycling related memory for you?
I guess everyone's like first accident. I don't know if you guys have that ingrained in you, but for me, because I always had that ingrained. Mine wasn't like that intense, pero parang na sideswipe ako ng motor while turning. So parang that's like one of my worst experiences just because it's the first time. But then afterwards, parang I realized ko, well, it's still sad, but then it's not as bad as I imagined in my head. Parang the motorist aren't that evil or mean. Like, he was really apologetic. Hindi niya talaga sinasadya. So, I guess may mga ganun din talaga. Parang I have to stop thinking that everyone's my enemy. Parang ganun. So, parang sometimes, people just make mistakes. mga ganun. Parang yun or maybe that's just my coping mechanism for that accident. I don't know. But that was my worst experience. And then my best experience was, I guess, my first, like, actually, for some reason, like my first ever Ahon ride. So the first time I got to Antipolo, I didn't think I'd make it. Like, yung mindset ko pa lang, nung nakikita ko pa lang yung bola nung sa may sumulong highway, it was like, magsustop ako doon, di ko na kaya. But I didn't. And then I went to sa next na yung fine, yung LaSalle Antipolo or something. And then yes. I didn't stop then. Yung mga ganun. Parang, it's just surprising myself with looking back now. I don't know if, it's still hard. It's still a hard route. But then now, parang I can do it without feeling so anxious about it. Parang I feel like it's a nice way to view your own physical growth. Parang ganun. Ganun, how much you pushed yourself from where you started.
And there's a last hill before you get to LaSalle Antipolo, no? Like there's a
yeah.
You go downhill and then you go uphill. Yeah, tapos once you get there, parang kind of feel good about what you did for the day, diba?
Yeah.
Yeah, tapos
meron pa pala.
Yun na sa video. Tapos saka tayo magde-decide kung magte-Teresa ba tayo or hindi.
Yeah, yeah.
Siguro last question would be, are there cycling advocacy ideas that are close to your heart that are your main areas that you want to push forth, especially working with Cycling Matters? Are there things that you know are more important for you than you know just the generic message of cycling? So yeah, please.
For me, I guess now that it. Like buzzword ngayon yung active transport and ano ba yun? Mga ganong buzzwords. Parang, I feel like we can transition into something like cycling is transport. It's not just like an alternative or like an option. Parang, I feel like ngayon lang kasi siya nabigyan ng attention, but then again, it has always been a transport mode. So I guess that's what I hope to see at least in a lot of discussions in my work and in my circle of friends.
Yeah, we love that idea because I think from the start we've been pushing back against the idea of using the word alternative for cycling. Mm-hmm. Whereas it could actually be a primary mode of transport or a preferred mode of transport, and which it already is in progressive places in the world, no? But yeah,
I don't know nga if like it's a useless fixation na parang why do we have to label it? Why don't we just call it transportation, right? Of course there are useful ways we label things, but sometimes it just limits what we or how we imagine how we use a bicycle.
So Jan, let's move on to the other side of the room. Let's move on to Momok.
All right. So Momok, hi, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you guys for having me here.
So first question, can you introduce yourself to our listeners? Who are you, what do you do, and how are you able to afford your cycling expenses?
Sometimes I also ask myself that, no? So yeah, they call me Momok. I'm Ramon Barbaza, and what do I do for a living? I've been teaching ever since I became an adult. I started teaching in 1993 and never stopped ever since. That's where I get my funding for cycling. Nice.
would you say that your work influences your cycling or your outlook on bike life in any way?
Actually, I teach philosophy and I happen to have worked on the question of dwelling. No? For my dissertation, and riding a bicycle, walking, and being familiar with your the place of living, your neighborhood, everything belongs to dwelling. So yeah, incredibly, cycling or riding a bicycle, cycling sounds really more serious, no? It fits somehow more a lot more naturally, into the whole my whole thinking and my whole, even my teaching.
Oh, okay, cool. So how did you get into cycling? Was it something that you started doing when you were a child or when you started teaching?
I've been riding bicycle since I was a kid. So siguro magkaiba nga yung riding bicycles and cycling. Somehow when I hear cycling, kasi parang mas, am I a cyclist or not? I just ride a bicycle. But there's something serious about the term or the label cyclist. No, but so I've been riding since I was a kid, and I distinctly remember my paternal grandfather before they left for migrated to Canada. They left as this, I think, 1950s roadmaster. Yeah. And it makes me endlessly sad that we lost it somehow. And, you know, there was still a receipt, 50 pesos, I think, 1950s. Wow. It's a huge, like, built like a tank. So I have very, very good memories riding that bicycle in Albay, when we were still in Albay. My father was assigned there. So you have Mount Mayon as a backdrop, you know, very cinematic and riding on unpaved roads. Yes. But recently, you know, since kasalanan ni Brian yan, since I met these guys, Brian and Hebe, and then all of a sudden, I don't really know bicycles. So yan ay nag-shift na riding a bicycle and cycling. So then, you know, gradually I became aware of the bicycle, as you know, in terms of its parts and its history. And so it's a new phase, no, for me, no? And it's but a happy one. No?
Yeah, I think
pero
we got
unpaved roads in Albay. That sounds like you're an original OG gravel rider.
Yeah, yeah, unpaved
gravel rider.
Gravel, yeah.
Gravel, yeah, rider, yeah, from, yeah. Albay.
Yeah, rice fields on both sides. Yeah.
Nakatuwa. I think we share this experience of ano, no, parang na formalize yung understanding natin, no, or how we treat, you know, riding a bike to cycling when we joined Team Loyola and then got exposed to people like Brian. But how would you say paano nag-evolve yung ano, yung type of riding a bicycle to cycling? What kind of cycling have you done? Yeah, what kind of cycling do you do?
Yeah, when I was in Munich for 4 years for my studies, no, and I think my wife and I, on the first 2 weeks, we got ourselves a secondhand bicycle. So we were riding bicycles in Munich for 4 years. No? Wow. But, you know, looking back, I said, I never even knew about derailleurs. I never checked the parts for as long as it was moving. You know, I can't even recall washing it. You know? But, and so I felt bad, no, looking back. No? So that's the... that phase, now I would maybe we call it pre-cycling, and then I came back to the Ateneo and started teaching again, and I was so excited to get a bicycle again, and you know, but still again without any consciousness of the bicycle, as you know, in a different way as a cyclist would have it, you know? And then, you know, I bumped into Brian and Hide, and actually it was just UP, no, we were.
That's right.
And then a former student sold her road bicycle, no? Which she used for racing. So I just thought it looked nice, but I had no idea what it was. So, and that's when it started, no? Getting a little bit more serious. No, I'm sure Brian remembers.
I do remember, Momok, that one of the first things she said to me was, because you're Momok is a more senior member of the faculty. I mean, senior in being advanced in,
yeah, and so age wise.
I started by saying, sir, sir. And then Momok said, cyclists do not address each other with sir.
And, you know, I said that.
Just,
I can't.
Yeah, you just said that. You said, just call me Momok. And I said, okay. I will call you Momok.
Yeah.
Sometimes nga, no, I think about, nakarelate ako sa sinabi ni Momok. Kasi sometimes I think about how I used to ride my bike as a kid, and parang nisip ko, comparing it to my experience now, how the hell did I survive? Parang matibay ba yung bike ko dati or sinwerte lang?
Oo nga, di ba? Yeah.
So where do you usually ride? Do you have any favorite places to ride in?
Well, right now when I'm in Antipolo because of the pandemic, but before the pandemic, I live in Quezon City, so, and my place of my house is just a kilometer and a half from my place of work. So actually it's walking distance. No? In fact, I think I'm doing it wrong. I should be walking instead of riding my bicycle. But, you know, for you want any excuse you can have for riding your bicycle. So, but I think it's, you know, it will be good for me also to walk, because, you know, cyclists also, you know, as they say, you know, we need to run also and walk and then lift weights to, and not just ride bicycles. No, but yeah, so that's my usual route. No, my house in Loyola Heights to Ateneo, and then weekends I join you guys, Team Loyola, to usually eastward, Antipolo, or at the foothills of Sierra Madre. No?
Pero Momok, delikado pala nakatira sa Antipolo, no? Because no matter what you do, the last bit to get home is a climb. You have to get back up.
So, oo nga eh.
Because I was thinking about that when we did get the ride before the harsher, the stricter lockdowns. Na
yeah, yeah.
Kami pabalik lang ng Katipunan, which means our last climb is...
Yeah, that's right.
It's just a short bit of Patikilos away, Barangka. Pero ikaw, who rode the same distance as us, you have to go all the way back up to Antipolo.
Yeah, I remember. The first time I did that, I thought, oh my God, may isang akyat pa after Radar. Radar already killed me. So we're... Yeah. So we were trying to find other routes, not to make it easier.
Out of among all of those places that we usually ride in, or places that where you ride, do you have any favorites, or kite spot or route?
I like Radar actually. Mm-hmm. What? Not the difficulty, but it's a beautiful. I think it's a beautiful route. No, going there. No, especially the last kilometers when it's. You could hear even insects, no, not just birds. Yeah. No? It's so quiet, and you know the air is different, and no one's bothering you. You know, so it's a special place. So, and my only wish is that, you know, it doesn't change. You know, with road widening projects, mm-hmm. that it stays that way. You know, I just hope so. No? It's really just a beautiful place. No?
Yeah. I wonder if Mika has sentiments about Radar then, since I think there was a fast run to Sierra Madre in the past during the pandemic. But I think you had a very fast run going to Sierra Madre.
Yeah, I think I saw that.
Very I don't know what happened. Like I feel like you that's the first time I understand how much time warps when you're on a bike. Spring, it felt like it was so long and so quick at the same time. I couldn't explain it. I don't know if I was so tired or also too happy. It was a mix of so many emotions. But then afterwards, I'm just dead. Like, singular feeling dead. I'm so tired. But it was so nice, yeah. That route is like a mix of like really, really difficult climbs, but really, really, really beautiful views as well. So I really love that route.
You guys
and
are making
when you get to Radar, no, parang it's a barometer of how good you'll do pa until Sierra Madre. Like if you feel good at Radar, then maybe it's gonna be a good ride. Mm-hmm. Pero kung umus ka na by Radar, maybe you should turn back.
Tama, exactly.
You get to hydrate or eat. Tas parang the decision must be made. Do you push forward?
But Momok is right. That's when it starts to get really beautiful.
Is there like a cycling related memory that stands out for you, Momok, whether good or bad?
Maybe a scare. I think Brian remembers when Brian, who was at King, and Hide and I, we joined a 100 kilometer giant ride. Mm. And then it was drizzling, and it was on the descent from Bugarin.
Yeah.
So on the 80th kilometer, I was feeling pain in my left chest, and I was so scared. I said, "Is this a heart attack?"
No.
And it was really it was tightening, and so I had to stop. Mm-hmm. And I got my phone to tell Brian and Hide and King, but there was no signal. No. So and the first thing that came to my mind, am I going to die here? And then I look around, there was no one else. There was a Nipah hut and it was drizzling a bit. I said, well, not so bad. The place to die, no? Mukhang maganda rito. But I rested for maybe 5 or 10 minutes and then it disappeared. And I said, sayang naman, 20 kilometers na lang, no? So I completed the ride and sina Brian and Hiden King, they were already done with their lunch waiting for me. But I did the whole cardio workup after just to check, and I was fine naman. That there was nothing wrong with my heart, thankfully. No, that it was just, I think, muscular tension, because I'm as you guys know, I don't like descents. No? So I think I was breaking very often, and it was slippery, and my mind playing on me, and all the tension of, you know, I suppose that was
laglagan na lang din. Of course, Momok, you went on to go to Baler and to other. So after the doctor said you're good,
yeah, that's right. I was given a clear signal.
Clearance, na siya.
Yeah, clearance. Yeah.
Amazing. So that experience, no, and then yeah, ang dami nang naging rides after that. We've been to so many far flung areas on our bicycles. Is there anything that you think would make you stop riding your bike? If that didn't stop you, is there anything that?
I can't think of anything. Well, only physically, no. If the only thing that can make me stop is if my body can already do it. No? So. But I've been thinking, how will that happen? When will that happen? How old will I be? You know? But it will come, you know. So
it's more of like an unpredictable external factor rather than a decision.
No. Yeah, that's right.
I think it says something that potential heart attack only stopped him for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah. And then the moment the doctor said it's okay, he was like, all right.
Yeah, okay.
Game. Kaya pa pala eh.
Is there any, do you have any cycling pet peeves as a last question?
It's really the way our roads and streets are, are not friendly, not just to cyclists but also pedestrians, no? So yeah, so that's just really my and I hope it things change now that to make it, you know, better for all of us, no? Yeah,
so I think the next thing I wanted to do was to kind of just catch up on each other, how have you been doing during the pandemic, especially your cycling lives, how you've been dealing with the lockdowns. Of course, there's even without the lockdown, we have to be more careful about riding outdoors. Some cyclists, unfortunately, seem to be ignoring safety protocols and are just still riding in big groups and all that. Yeah. So, you know, there are restrictions on us, no matter whether it's official restrictions or just sensible restrictions. So, kamusta naman? Like, how's your cycling going? Maybe we can start with Jan. Like, Jan, tell us how much less cycling have you been doing?
How much
weight have we added?
I think it's 13 kilos now.
Laglaga na to.
I mean, grabe talaga. I'm
13 kilos kahit bike hindi yan magaan.
That's why nung huli tayo nagbike, 'di ba? Sinasabi ko pag naiiwan ako sa climb, sorry guys, dalawang dala ko na bike eh. But yeah, it's been very challenging kasi parang yun nga, I really try to, diba, try to do my part not to ride whenever it's, you know, not necessary. I think when the number of cases per day were around 1,000 to 2,000, it became sort of like okay to ride again. So parang I was starting to get my rhythm again and bike weekly, and then when start yung ECQ in, was that March, parang late March ata, no? Yeah, I really stopped biking, and then nung tumaas na yung cases to 15,000, I really couldn't imagine being outside, adding to the burden. And I mean, knowing all the risks that I could add on to the medical the healthcare workers, kasi my wife is a doctor. Yun, talagang di ako makapag-ride. And yun, we were talking about indoor riding kanina, di ba? Brian knows very well that I'm not a fan of indoor riding just because it's so boring. So I've been riding my couch the past several months. gaining a lot of weight and just hoping that I would get stronger and live with my new body.
How aero is this crowd of yours?
I have to check. I have an electric fan here.
May wind tunnel sa bahay.
But it's just like 2 feet tall or 2.5 feet. So I think it's pretty aero compared to like the more expensive couches. I really took the question seriously.
What about Mika? Mika, how has your pandemic cycling been?
I think for me, kasi, like my first attachment to cycling was bike commuting. And I totally lost it nung pandemic because I didn't really need to go anywhere. Like even groceries, we just had it delivered. So really, no reason for me to go outside. So for me, my only capet to cycling was indoor cycling, as I said earlier. So parang for me, that was like, I guess, that's why I have a positive association with indoor cycling. Because that was like my first experience with at least virtually going faster than my commute. Because when you commute, parang if it's a small road, parang you don't really go that fast. Because, syempre, cars, it's not that safe. So parang dun ko siya first na experience in Zwift. That was my first platform, the virtual. And I felt like, wow, I was going fast. There's a screen lang. But that's how I coped with this whole like quarantine and cycling, lack of cycling. And I think it's fun because when I actually got to ride outside now, but it was a totally, but I was getting reintroduced to cycling as a sport instead of cycling. But it's another like perspective on cycling that I didn't have before. So I feel like nasa honeymoon phase pa ako with cycling ngayon. So like, I really get excited when people want to bike. Like when people want to like try Antipolo. If I know a friend na first time niya mag Antipolo, I'll invite myself. Sama ako. It's still my honeymoon phase now. So I feel like, nandito na ako sa point na nagpa-plano na ako nung N+1 ko. Yung mga ganun. So, nice. Parang andun pa lang ako. So, I feel like the pandemic has allowed me also to ride outdoors during weekdays, at least before work. Kasi parang like Antipolo, like one round of Antipolo is like less than, you know man, like mga siguro an hour plus, ganun. And I can be home. So, parang that's like a workout session, ganun. That's my quick workout session in the morning, which I can't do if we work in the offices na. So I feel like, yun, I feel like it's my kapit to staying sane this quarantine now, being on my bicycle there.
Momok, how's your cycling pandemic cycling life been?
Yeah, it's been up and down, like the hills of Antipolo, no? Kasi nung una, the indoor cycling was, you know, I remember, excited pa tayong lahat, no? Nagkikita pa tayo sa Zwift, yeah. Eh. Wow! Exciting! Yeah. Whoa.
Yeah, we had afternoon bike sessions.
Diba? But after a while, of course, the excitement is gone, no? So it's a challenge to keep yourself motivated. Although I know in my head na indoor cycling can be a very good, you know, way of keeping yourself fit. In fact, it could be better than riding outside na unpredictable yung conditions. No? I think, no, in some cases, no. But you know, you really miss the outdoor, no. But the second wave of the pandemic, in the recent one, you know, we had a scare at home. That was really, you know, I haven't ridden outside the village, no, since the start of the second wave, no. And yun na nga, nasa Antipolo ko, and I feel so bad that, you know, I'm so close to, you know, interesting routes, but you know, I couldn't go, no. So I hope my sense is maybe in 2 weeks time, maybe I can start exploring again certain places, but I'm, you know, we're still feeling our way, na nakikinig, oh, marami bang tao doon, marami bang siklista doon pag weekend, no? So yeah, because I think cyclists start riding again, no? But whether it's a good thing or not, you know, you really have to be careful. So I try to play it safe, no, na muna, no? Yeah.
I guess that leaves me. I actually like indoor cycling not as much as outdoor cycling, but I do like it. I can get lost in it. Like when you get into this rhythm of you know, of suffering on an indoor trainer, parang it's kind of nice to just be able to sustain the same pace, which you can't do outside. So yung mga steady state sessions, those are really great for me. Like if you can just do sweet spot for an hour, and I feel very good about that. Although syempre outdoors is still better. And since my bike is my only mode of transport, visiting my Lola who lives in Muntinlupa, usually I take my bike. And it was a good, you know, parang there was no other way to do it safely but on a bike. So I took extra day in just riding my bike to visit my Lola, because I couldn't imagine any other reason na would make me ride my bike outdoors than visiting my Lola. Hi, Lola. Except, you know, like Momo, when the second wave, the surge hit, I began to worry about the new variants and how I might, you know, inadvertently infect my Lola, who's 100 now. I haven't been riding outdoors since then, except for a few occasions. Like, Nika, when I'm close to the edge of sanity and insanity, borderline, but ako, I just ride around the block, like the IAF says, just ride in your barangay or your general area, which is like a really vague way of saying bahala ka kung anong gusto mong
ride.
I ride around the block and it's usually enough. I think it's just the feeling of movement and wind, diba? Parang you feel good about it. So ayan. So some of us cling on to the bike for sanity, like Mika. Some of us are extra careful about, I think all of us are careful, but some of us are even extra careful. And then of course Dan just gave up.
Just gaining weight, man. That's my new sport.
Yeah.
About cycling online. But
not a tip, you know?
I'm just always
a podcast
looking
about cycling
at the window. Doing cycling related
stuff. It's still cycling.
Yeah.
The not cycling podcast by Jan.
Okay, wait. One thing that I forgot to mention is that I did get to ride with my in-laws and my wife for several weekends. But yeah, in the past few months, wala na.
That's cute though. That's cute that you ride. Like I really enjoy seeing you ride with your trips with your in-laws. It's so nice, like the routes you go with them. And the fact na sila pa yung nagyayaya, I remember that's what you told me.
My favorite thing about Jan's in-law rides is that isa-isa silang sumali, di ba? Like first it was just your father-in-law. And then your mother-in-law. And then your sister-in-law.
Hindi pala sabay-sabay. Wow.
It was really like, kasi parang when my father-in-law met me and he found out that, well, first time pa lang niya ako na meet, he found out that I was a cyclist kasi I would go to their house in Cavite on a bike nung nanliligaw ako. So parang na-unlock yung ano niya, yung childhood ano niya, parang love for cycling. So yun, nag-start tayo mag-ride and then binudol na niya, parang lagi niya pinapressure yung ibang part of the family to like ride.
So I also like speaking about how your in-laws started biking and how we all like I feel like at this point we all have different ways of how we relate to cycling because of the pandemic. It changed almost everything, every aspect you can think of in our lives. But then I don't know if you guys would say na there's like one way. Is there one way to start riding a bike? Or I'm not sure if it's I'm not sure if we have talked about this before in the podcast, but we talked about a lot of recreational cycling, bike commuting, bike event organizing, bike advocacy. But I don't know if we have exactly discussed how we actually got on our bikes. So I guess for all of us, what were the first, our first encounters with the bikes are? So what were the first bike you used? Is there like a specific bike you should have before you can start riding? I guess I'll ask Brian first. How did you start riding your bike in the first place?
So I'm a little bit older, so my history with bikes is a little bit longer, I guess. But I think like Momok, I started really young, like training wheels and BMX type bike, but you know, it was a full size bike for me. But I think the longest stretch when I began to have an active relationship with a bike was in around the end of grade school towards high school. And I had outgrown my BMX bike, my kiddie bike, but there was no other bike at home except my dad's road bikes, which were too big for me. And then there was this pink bike that I don't know who it was meant for. I think it was meant for my younger sister, but she didn't really use it all that much. But it was, you know, adult size. I remember it was a rally na bike, and it was pink, like hot pink. It became nice. My main bike for years, like for 5 years, half a decade, it was my bike. And looking back now, I realized that it was my mode of transport. Like, pag inutusan ako, I wouldn't imagine walking to the sari-sari store. I'd take a bike because the idea of walking is so slow, diba? Compared to you just get on your bike and dun ka, then you're back. And then of course, may hawak ang supot of kung ano yung mo, and it makes your bike handling better kasi sanay ka nagdadala ng Coke or ng kung ano-ano pang binibili mo.
Training.
But I also grew up with biking friends, like yung tropa na roronda lang kayo on bikes.
Yeah.
So parang we just go around riding a bike. We didn't know where we were going or what we were doing. There was a park nearby, but it wasn't really a destination. It was like, put a time park, but actually we don't stop riding. When we get there, we just ride around in the park. I think one of the answers to your question is whatever bike is better than no bike. And it you can start with just about any type of bike that is accessible to you. And it's always good to have a bike that you're coming from before you do your N+1. I mean by default N+1 kasi may N kaya, but it's good to have like an accessible entry level bike that you learn on before you start investing, because I've seen so many people recently who, you know, make the big purchase kaagad for a particular kind of bike because they fell in love with a kind of cycling in their mind, pero they realized on this is pala what I thought it would be. And the example in my mind would be some people buy super fast road bikes and then they realize they're not really into the super fast game, or more people fall in love with a gravel bike, but then they realize they're not riding in trails and it's on the road, so parang
it's me.
They're not that happy. But I guess that's it for me.
Yeah, that makes sense, because it's different than because when you start with zero knowledge and then you get introduced to a bike and then dun mo palang kikilalanin kung what type of cyclist you are. So yeah, I don't think you should rush into getting that first bike without actually trying like whatever bike you have access to. What about if we try riding for sport? I don't know if, well, Jan, how about you? Did you start riding for sport? Because I know Momok talked about how he started riding for transport din eh. Not like actually for like sport, like how we do it in Team Loyola.
For me, I never really thought of it as a sport. Like start ako, I was 6 years old. BMX din. My parents gave me a BMX out of nowhere on my 6th birthday, I think. And then, yun, I just kept riding that. I can remember lang na parang when I was in college pa nga, our common friend, Iggy Maximo, he was my org mate.
Hey.
And, hey, Iggy. And sinabi sa akin ng isa naming orgmate, uy, alam mo ba, si Iggy, ano pala yan, champion cyclist, as in, naka-road bike siya, racer bike, ganyan, tapos nagla-lycra siya and everything. Tapos pinakita sa akin yung photos, tapos ako tawang-tawa ako, parang, I was so amused that someone that I knew na student rin was so into the sport. And I didn't know that years later, I would get into it myself. But I think I can... After riding kasi my bike when I was a kid, nanakaw yung bike ko when I was in high school. So from 6 years old until I was around probably 14 or 15, I would ride my bike talaga yon to errands on weekends in the village. After na nakaw yung bike, di na ako nakapag-bike. But then yon 2015, I think, doon nag-start yung super intense traffic na, diba, from the boom, and there were so many low-down payment cars being sold. I really got frustrated. So I really started cycling talaga as a mode of transport. And I think it only took me 6 months. Parang 6 months ako as a commuter. Na-meet ko sila King and Brian. A week after meeting them, suddenly I had a road bike. And then from there, I was suddenly a cyclist, a sports cyclist. And it, sobrang bilis na mga pangyayari. Parang ganun. Pero siguro, if we're talking about starting, yeah, I think aside from what Brian mentioned, what's important then is finding a good group of friends who will parang leech, no?
Cycling parang friends
pala, no? Yeah, but it's good to find a good group na you could share, they could share their core knowledge with you, diba? You could hear different experiences from them, kasi in a group may naman dyan naka gravel, may naka road, may naka mountain bike, and baka may chance din for you to borrow those different bikes if they're nice enough. I mean, the people, if they're nice enough to lend you their bicycles, and at least hindi ka kailangan mag-commit agad like I did. But I don't blame anyone. I blame only myself.
Yeah. At the end of the day, ikaw pa rin pumili lang. Oh. Ikaw gumawa nun sa sarili mo. Okay, so I guess like one of the last things I want to ask everyone is for first-time bike commuters or first-time recreational cyclists, are there like any special tips that you'd want, like that really helped you? Na sana parang nung nalaman mo yung tip na yun, parang shock, sana alam ko na to nung start pa lang. Parang is there like specific, like learning the hand signals, was that important for you? Or learning what routes you had to take for your commutes, like looking at back roads, mga ganon. Or like even just setting a goal for like a specific cycling destination, like does that help you get on your bicycle? Siguro, let's start with Momo. Do you have any tips na you'd like to share na parang ito talaga yung one tip I'd say to a beginner cyclist listening to us right now?
I think Brian remembers nung nasa ang biking namin sa UP pa lang, ano, when I damaged my crank.
You remember, you
know, when we thought the Heartbreak Hill was a mountain,
chain,
you know?
The chainring was bent out of shape.
Yeah, so I don't know how that happened, no. So, but for looking back, for sure, because I was doing it, you know, wrongly, you know, or I had no idea what was the bicycle all about, actually, you know. So yeah, siguro my first, I don't know if you call it tip or advice, whatever bicycle you're using, get to know it, mm-hmm. what it can and it cannot do. Try to, especially now in the age of internet, madali namang i-search, no? Ano bang ginagawa nitong part ng bike na to? You know, what can go wrong? You know, what can it do for me? You know, so and pa-konti-konti, and then to, I think that's the most sensible thing I would say, you know, because that's also for safety, no? Mm-hmm. In terms of, you know, split second decisions and what you can do. I remember kasi nung was sa Munich, my wife and also me, I think our tires got wheels got stuck sa rail, sa tram, sa streetcar, no? And it, pag naipit 'yon, and then nakakatakot, nasa likod na yung train, ano. So mabuti nilang mabagal yung streetcar, no. You know, so things like that can happen. So when you know your bicycle more, and then that will help you in many ways.
Yeah, I agree. We need to, like what everyone said, like you have to get to know not only your bike, but also what works for you talaga. And there's no like one way to just get on a bike.
Yeah.
Does anyone have anything else to say for first time bikers?
Well, as a Cycling Matters teammate, one thing I would say is whatever we didn't mention here, you can check out cyclingmatters.ph for our articles. Yeah. We have a beginner series in the website with very thoughtfully written articles. So if you find anything there na parang meron kayong question, just message us on Instagram or Facebook. And we'd be happy to answer your questions as soon as we can.
Yeah.
So, siguro, of course, the dream is that anyone should be able to get on a bike and ride around. Like, parang you shouldn't need a helmet. Mm. You shouldn't need so much preparation for riding your bike. But, you know, you also have to kind of grapple with the realities of what kind of cities we live in here in the Philippines. So, I would say preparation is kind of necessary. For you to have a good experience riding your bike. Maybe you don't know how to change a punctured tire, but at least have a plan for what happens if it does happen. Like, magagrab ka ba? Or do you have like a spouse or a dad to pick you up along the way? Or maglalakad ka ba pa uwi kung mapuncture mo yung tire mo? Of course, it really just takes 5 minutes to replace a punctured inner tube, so parang you can learn to do it. So yun ako, it's painful to say this, but I think that there's a fair amount of preparation and due diligence required to be able to ride your bike safely, sustainably. So wag sumabak ng bara-bara, kumbaga, please take it seriously. Because unfortunately, the consequences are serious. And I'm not talking about accidents now. I mean, I'm talking if you ride one way 10 minutes, tas doon ka magka-puncture, tas wala kang plano. That 10-minute ride is a 30-minute walk coming back to somewhere. Yeah. So parang, and then you'll hate yourself because you're pushing a bike, which is not an easy thing to be doing. So sana someday we can get to a point where that's not advice you need to give to a cyclist or to a person who wants to ride a bike. But right now, it's, I'd say go to cyclingmatters.ph and read some of our
check
articles.
Out. Actually, like, since cycling is so accessible, like, you can literally, I feel like you can ask a friend who cycles and they'll be more than happy to give you any advice that you would need, for sure. Like, I feel like I haven't met anyone who cycles who doesn't want to talk about their experience or share how they started biking as well. So I feel like, just to summarize everything, I feel like we discussed how preparation is necessary, and it's always dependent on your own personal experience with the bike. First of all, like, what bike you have, and then what environment you have growing up I feel like I say, but then if you started, for example, if you live in a village or if you live in the provinces, it's not as scary when you're starting your bike ride. So I feel like whatever is your situation, you don't have to stick to a certain way to start your bike. Just do it, like, just ride your bike and you'll figure out how it's gonna go for you.
And that ends our very first episode of the third season of the Cycling Matters podcast. Thank you, Mika and Momok, for joining us on the podcast and being part of the team.
Thank you, guys. Thank you also
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us. Yes.
Now, if you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to our podcast on Spotify or YouTube. Our episodes are the next best thing to riding your bike on a Monday. Just search Cycling Matters in your favorite podcast platform while brewing your morning coffee or tea. Put on some earphones and enjoy the discussion. You can catch more of Cycling Matters on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram, or on our website at cyclingmatters.ph. Thank you for tuning in. We'll catch you in the next episode of the Cycling Matters podcast. Until then, ride safe, Philippines.